And I was thinking about hot cocoa is like kind of the ultimate comfort beverage, isn't it? I love hot cocoa. And I want you to think for a minute about things in your life that bring you comfort. So for me, it's my fuzzy slippers and my fleece blanket and maybe hot cocoa, or I love a steaming hot cup of tea. I asked Chip what brings him comfort, and I thought he was going to say, the sound of my voice. But instead he said, bacon. But we all have different things, right, that bring us comfort. Maybe it's your puppy, your dog, or chocolate, or the voice of a loved one, or a hug. But the definition of comfort is to give strength and hope to ease the grief or trouble of, to console, or to alleviate distress. It's a definition of comfort. Now, we Americans, we love our comfort foods, right? Now, maybe that's, you know, maybe every country, but in, particularly in America, we love our comfort foods. So I just, for fun, Googled top 10 comfort foods of 2020 in the Midwest. Now, I think this list would be really individualized if you're from the South or from the West. I know for me, it would include my mom's homemade cookies and my dad's Lebanese green beans. So we all have different things, right? But this is so just a generic top 10 comfort foods in the Midwest 2020. So number one, I'm going to start with one and go down. So number one, not surprising, is pizza. Number two, burgers. Number three, fried chicken. Number four, French fries. Number five, pasta. Number six, now I actually thought this would be closer to the front, but number six is macaroni and cheese. Number seven, this is a favorite of school kids everywhere, grilled cheese and tomato soup. Number eight, mashed potatoes. Number nine, a little bit surprising to me, chili. Which, you know, we had our chili cook-off a couple weeks ago, and based on the empty crock pots leaving, I would say that is true. But for some of you that had that sort of inferno chili made by Chip, I don't know if that's really comfort food, right? It's more like horrifying. Torture. Yeah, torture food. Now, number 10, I take a little issue with. Some of you might agree, I don't know. Number 10 was tuna noodle casserole. For me, it's the word casserole. I can't do it, but maybe that you'd like tuna noodle casserole. So we like these foods, right, because they're satisfying, they're familiar, they make us feel warm inside. You know, if you're having the worst day, somebody puts a big bowl of mac and cheese in front of you, and for about 10 minutes, everything seems right with the world, doesn't it? We love these things because they bring us comfort, and even from when we're born, from the time we're born, we crave comfort. For the past several weeks, Pastor Chip has taken us through Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's broken that down for us. And last week, he started verse 4, which says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. And he talked about how even though we go through dark tunnels in life, Jesus continues to walk those out with us until we get to the other side of it. And today we're going to finish that verse. This is still verse 4. And it says this, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So a rod and a staff, two kinds of sticks. And if you think about that, we're talking about mac and cheese and fuzzy slippers and puppies. How do two sticks bring comfort? Doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe you've seen them in the movies. You know, the shepherd has the big staff. And I brought some visual aids today so that we could kind of dig deep into what is a rod and what is a staff and what do they actually mean? What do they symbolize? What benefits are they supposed to represent for us, for what God wants to do in our lives? So let me show you a rod and a staff. So a rod, I look at this and I think a correcting tool, right? A corrective tool. But that's not the case at all. A rod is actually a defensive tool. They're normally about a foot and a half, 2 feet long. And the shepherd, the herder of the sheep, would use this to shoo away predators like mountain lions, wolves. They would shoo them away, maybe have to lunge at them. So this was a tool used, or still is probably, used by shepherds to protect and guard the sheep. So this is a rod. Maybe a little bit more familiar is a staff. It's a big stick with a hook or a crook at the end. And surely we've seen these in pictures and movies. And I think for us to understand the purpose of the staff, we need to know a little bit about sheep. So we're gonna come back around to the staff, but here's some characteristics of sheep. Sheep have a tendency to wander. Sheep are timid, fearful, and easily panicked. They are not overly smart. They have little or no means of self-defense. They can only run. They have no sharp claws, and their teeth are fairly dull from chewing grass all the time. They are easily overtaken by enemies. Even though they can run, they're not very fast. They easily cast, which means if their wool gets too heavy, they might fall over onto their back. And they do not have the means to upright themselves again without the help of the shepherd. So that's called casting. Of all the livestock, they require the most care. And finally, this one is kind of a positive one, kind of a weird one. They have an innate ability to graze on really rugged and sloped terrain. They can graze at an angle of 60 or 70 degrees, whereas other animals cannot do that. Cows cannot do that. They would fall. But sheep can graze on at an angle on rugged terrain, but they do have a tendency to lose their balance and fall. So even they can graze on cliffs in the side of a mountain, but they have the tendency to lose their balance and fall. So that's some characteristics of sheep. Now, the shepherd's staff with this crook, this hook at the end, what the shepherd would do is use this. This is actually a tool for guiding and directing. If the sheep is getting too close to the edge of that rocky cliff and looking like it's going to fall, the shepherd would take the hook, the crook, and just gently grab the sheep around the neck and pull it back away from the edge and pull it to safety. That allows the shepherd to do that without himself getting too close to the edge, putting himself in danger. Or if a sheep gets stuck in a thorn bush, you know, we said they're not very smart, and sometimes they get stuck in a thorn bush, the shepherd can grab the sheep with that crook by the neck or by the leg and just pull them out, with the shepherd not having himself to get into the thorns and get cut up himself. So this is a tool that a shepherd uses for guiding and directing. So we've got a rod for guarding and protecting, and our staff for guiding and directing. Guarding and protecting, guiding and directing. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? You know, throughout the Bible, people are frequently referred to as sheep, and Jesus as the good shepherd of the sheep. Let's go back through that list of qualities of sheep, characteristics of sheep, and let's see if we can sort of connect with some of those characteristics. And we'll see if there's a parallel. The first one was sheep have a tendency to wander. Do people have a tendency to wander? We do. We are easily distracted, easily swayed different directions. You know, we live in a very consumerism, technology-driven society, and there's so many distractions out there on our phones, on the internet, just in the world. We're easily wandering off. Even when we have it really great right where we already are, we have a tendency to wander. You know, I I don't watch TV, but the only thing I do watch, I like to watch animal documentaries. I think I've said that before. And one thing that I have noticed in watching animal documentaries is that animals out in the wild, the savanna, the jungle, they are constantly on the alert for predators. There's really never any downtime where they can just sort of relax because predators lurk everywhere. But that's not the case with farm animals. Now, back when I was in my 20s, I spent a couple of summers working at some summer camps at horse barns. And at these horse barns, we also had some, we didn't have sheep, but we had pigs and goats and chickens. And something that seems to be true of all farm animals is that they're living the good life, right? The farmer feeds them, makes sure they have shelter. The only responsibilities farm animals generally have is to eat and take naps. The farmer takes care of watching for predators. They don't have a care in the world. But for some reason, farm animals, any chance they get, they try to get away. They try to wander off. You know, I didn't work with sheep, but we did have a couple pigs at one of the barns that I worked at, and I have to tell this story. So we had these two pigs. We called them Pork and Beans. And I didn't pick the names. And, you know, Pork and Beans were just sort of, I would just say average pigs. I don't know, like, for what I knew about pigs, but they were probably about 250, 300 pounds each. And they were pigs. And they had a pretty good life. They had a pen, and we would keep it really clean, make sure they were fed. And about once a week or so, we would clean out their pen and get it all ready for them to live a great life. So we did that by moving them over into the empty pen next to theirs, and we'd clean it out, hose it down, scrub it down, make it, you know, really pristine, put some fresh straw in there, get it all set for them. And then when it was all nice and clean, we'd hose off Pork and Beans and then move them back into their pen, to their original pen. But without fail, every time we tried to move them back into their pen, they would want to get away. They would want to go anywhere else but there. And we were pretty good. We were pretty good at it. We'd get them in there. But there was one day that Beans got past us. And something about pigs that are wet, that have just been hosed off, they are very slippery. So we tried to grab Beans, but he got right through our hands. So I want you to try to picture this if you can. There were, I think, about two or three of us. We got Pork back in his pen and closed the gate. Beans, meanwhile, has gotten past us and he takes off running, his little legs, and he's squealing, and I think he was just really laughing. And you know what's surprisingly, a 250, 300 pound pig with little legs is really surprisingly fast. And he took off, and we were chasing him. And this little guy, he ran down the gravel road, past the cabins, past the dining hall, past the swimming pool, out the front entrance of the camp, across the road. And then he took a turn and went about another quarter mile and stopped in the neighbor's backyard. He finally stopped. I don't know if he got tired. I don't know if he just was done having fun with us, but he stopped in the neighbor's backyard. We finally, like this time, I was younger, so I could run a little bit better than I do now, but we finally caught up to Beans, and we realized at that point we had no real plan how we were going to get the pig back to the camp. So thankfully, the owners of the house had a dog, so they lent us the dog leash, and we walked little Beans back to camp. But, you know, Beans had a good life at the camp. He had everything he needed. And he had no real plan, did he? Like, what was he going to do, start a new life on the neighbor's patio? He didn't have a plan. He just wanted to see what was out there. Does that sound a little bit like people? Sometimes we have it great right where we're at, but something makes us wonder what's on the other side of the gate, and we wander, even though it's not really what's best for us. So farm animals have a tendency to wander. Sheep have a tendency to wander. People have a tendency to wander. Let's go back to our list. Sheep are timid, fearful, and easily panicked. Well, that sounds like people. Maybe not all the time for all of us, but I think we go through phases in our lives where panic, fear comes to us. Sheep are not overly smart. People, no, I'm not going to touch that one. Sheep are easily overtaken by enemies. Sounds a little bit like people. Sheep are the neediest of the livestock. They require the most care. People require the most care of God's creation, undoubtedly. But I think these last two are maybe the ones that are the most relatable. You know, we talked about casting. When sheep are carrying too much weight, they fall on their back and they can't get back up without the help of the shepherd. Does that sound a little bit like people sometimes? We're carrying too many burdens, too many struggles, too much baggage. We fall over and we can't get back up without the help of a shepherd. And then the last one, get a little too close to the edge when we're just grazing, doing what we do, but we're a little too close to the edge of something that's not right for us, something dangerous, and we need the shepherd to pull us back with the staff. So when you kind of break it down like that, there's the parallels between people and sheep. It makes sense why the Bible does that. So we're going to break this down today into three ways that Jesus, the good shepherd, and we, the sheep, are able to find comfort in the rod and the staff. And the first way is this. If I choose to follow Jesus, Jesus leads me in the right direction. Let me say that one more time. If I choose to follow him, Jesus leads me in the right direction. We're going to look at John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. John 10, 2 through 4. And it says this. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. The good shepherd walks ahead of the sheep, and they follow him because they know his voice. In shepherding, sheep herding, the shepherd goes first. He's out in front. Why does he do that? Because he says, follow me and look how I do it. Watch where I'm going. He's a model. This is different from, I'm sticking with a farm analogy. This is different from cows, right? Cowboys. Cowboys, if you ever watch Western movies, cowboys drive cattle from behind. They drive cattle from behind and push them to the direction that they need the cows to go. They control the cows. This is different from shepherding. The shepherd is out in the front, and he leads the sheep. Why is this important? I think this is important because God isn't controlling us. He's not pushing us from the back behind saying, go this way, do this. He's not pushing us that way. He's not pushing us to places that we don't want to go. He's not forcing us to even love him. I've heard it said this way. It's not love if there's no choice to not love. Think about that. It's not love if there's no choice to not love. That's not love. That's control. And Jesus didn't come to control us. The Bible doesn't say God so controlled the world that he sent his only son. It says God so loved the world that he sent his only son. It's not about control. He's leading us out in front and bidding us to follow him. And he's saying, follow me and watch how I do it. I'm leading you to safe places, to places where the predators can't get you, to places where you can be comfortable and secure. Can't think of much more comforting than that. And you know, I've heard Pastor Chip say that God will never lead you into the weeds. You know, if Jesus is out in front and he's leading us, why would he lead us into the weeds? He's not going to take us there. He leads us with his love, not his laws, not with judgment. You know, I think some of us might have a fear of God, that God is just waiting for us to veer off the course, to mess up, so he can reprimand us back in line. But that is not what the Bible says. Psalm 25, verses 8 through 10 says this: "The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands." The Lord leads with unfailing love, not with laws, not with judgment. He leads with his love. So I know we get a little tripped up sometimes with, maybe you think that it's a list of do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. That's not what God wants to do. He wants to lead us with his love to places of protection. The second thing, when we wander, Jesus always comes after us and brings us back. When we wander, Jesus always comes after us and brings us back. We said we're prone to wander, right? What about those times? What about when, despite his leading, we still want to see what's on the other side of the gate? And we still push right past and keep running. Sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes we're just distracted. Sometimes we're following somebody else. Sometimes it is our own sin that causes us to wander. Sometimes it's just things of the world, decisions we make. Well, here's what the Bible says about when we wander. This is Luke 15, verses 3 through 6. Luke 15, 3 through 6. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." When we stray, when we wander, he always comes after us, always. He'll leave the 99 and come. Why does he do that? Because we matter. Each of us matters to him. Each person in this room matters to him. I matter to him. Just like that restless, slippery pig mattered to us, we weren't going to let that pig get away to his own destruction because he didn't know what was out there. In the same way, Jesus says, "I'm coming after you because you're going that way and what's over there is not good for you, and I know that. So I'm coming after you and I'm bringing you back where you belong, where I can take care of you." He always comes. Here's more proof. I love this passage from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. Try to picture this in your mind because the imagery is beautiful in this passage. Verse 11, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. That sounds pretty good to me. When we wander, when we stumble, when we fall, and sometimes we do that with great regularity, he always says, I'm coming after you because I have better things for you. Verse 16, I have to read that one more time. Verse 16, I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. Jesus rescues and recovers. Jesus, the good shepherd, rescues and recovers. And when we wander, he always comes. And the third thing, and maybe the most important, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The very reason that Jesus came was to lay down his life and pay the price so that we wouldn't have to. When Jesus died on the cross, every sin, past, present, future, every sin was paid for. And all we have to do is believe it and receive it. It's really pretty simple. We complicate it. The world complicates it. But it's really pretty simple. When we believe and receive the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And when we do that, our time on earth here, we get to spend walking it out with Jesus, the day to day, even when we wander off and make decisions. We get to spend it with Jesus. But the second part of that is, when we say yes, our eternity in heaven is secure. It's secure. What's more comforting than knowing that after this life ends, we are promised something so much better? And we can walk this out here in that security of knowing that our eternity is with Jesus. That is the ultimate comfort. Walking it out with Jesus here so that our eternity is secure. John chapter 10, one more time, just for some proof. Verse 11 in John chapter 10 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Then we're going to skip down to verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. It's secure. We're locked in. When we accept Jesus, when we say, okay, I get it. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to receive you. No one can snatch us from the Father's hand. Our eternity is secure, and that's the ultimate comfort. I'm going to start bringing it home with this. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the rod and the staff, they comfort and protect me. Not a corrective tool, a defensive tool to protect us and to guard us from the predators, from the things of this world. The staff, even though it looks like a big stick, is used to guard, to guide us and direct us and to keep us in safe places. Your rod and your staff, they comfort and protect me. And Jesus wants only to do that for us. He says, follow me. I'm going to show you the right way. He says, if you wander off, I'm coming after you. I'm not going to let you get away because I know what is best for you. And what's out there isn't what's best. What I have is what's best. And then ultimately, the ultimate comfort, he paid the price and laid down his life so that our eternity is secure. That is the ultimate comfort. Amen? All right. So we're gonna keep doing what Pastor Chip has been doing. We're going to read Psalm 23 together up until the end of verse 4 and just keep adding on to it. So if you want to read that with me, it's on the screen, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that from your word we can understand that what seemed like two sticks are really here to represent all that you want to do for us. As you guard and protect us, as you guide and direct us, we have only to follow you and trust in you, and you're going to take care of the rest. God, I thank you that this promise is true and it's for every single person here. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew. That was good, Kim. Man.